Amen. Good evening. Good to see all you here tonight. I trust that you've had a good week in the Lord. We'll be in the book of Hebrews this evening. Don't forget to be in prayer for those that are going to the youth conference and the youth camp coming up this week. We'll be leaving Sunday after church, headed to Pensacola. So be in prayer for those that will be traveling during that time as well. Be in prayer for our district here, 48. There's nobody running against the incumbent. She's a follower of Nelson and Soto. So we have the last day to qualify, I believe, is the 22nd of this month. So if you have any eager politicians out there that want to run, the Republican Party said they would pay your fee to qualify and buy you some yard signs if you will run against her. You may be just a lamb led to the slaughter. But what it does, it keeps her money in our district. Instead of, if nobody qualifies on the 22nd, she doesn't have to spend a dime. She's in. And so she'll send that money to another district that will try to get somebody else in. It's not hard to qualify. All you got to do is have lived in Florida for 2 years, be over 21. I think we got quite a few qualified there. And I didn't realize how I thought the House of Representatives was not all that important. Do you understand that in District 47, this young lady running, she's still a student at UCF. George Soros has given her $200,000. That ought to tell you something. That's for the House State Representative. So, they had the same problem in District 49, which is straight north of us. Their incumbent is the open homosexual. And nobody was running against him, but just this past week, a 24-year-old stood up and said, I'll do it. And I met him today and talked with him today. Of course, I can't vote for him, but I can surely get behind him and pray for him. He's got a hard battle, but what it does is that gentleman there that's seated has raised $79,000. Now he has to keep and spend it in his district instead of giving it off to the next district. So we need to be praying for our district. We do here where the church is, so that maybe somebody will, say, Pastor, I think I know somebody that might put their hat in there. They asked me today if I would consider it, and I don't have that leading at all. I have something else that the Lord's laid on my heart to do, and that's pastor the church, but. It's very needful. We need to be praying. It's midterm, and so we fall asleep on it. So just be careful. Pray for our district here, because it says a lot about what's going to happen right here at home. So be in prayer for that. Hebrews chapter 11. Again, it's good to see all of you here. And verse number 1 and 2, we're at the end of the school year. And as I was reading this passage and looking at it today, something kind of went into my mind. Tuesday I had to go up and sign for our kids' report cards and pick them up at the school and get them. And so as I read this, it kind of went through it and kind of just some few thoughts popped into my head tonight that I want to share with you. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 and 2. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Verse 2 says, for by it, which if you follow it back up, it's faith, by it, the elders obtained a good report. May they obtain a good report. Now if God was to grade you today, on how you've done this semester, I wonder how your report would be. I wonder, you know, my wife found when we were, I don't know, first got married, or maybe even we were just dating each other, she found one of my report cards, and she held it and hid it up to this point. She has not shown the kids because she don't want to give them any ammunition that they can do bad. I was very proud of it. There was no F's on it. Several D's, but no F's. So I was pretty proud of that. But she's kind of hid that. I wonder, you know, it's the end of the school year. Some of you may have got a bad report card. Maybe you got good ones. I hope you got all good ones. I really do. I was talking to someone this week, and they were talking to him about their son, and he's headed to summer school because he didn't do too well. So he didn't get a good report. I wonder if God was grading us today. I wonder what kind of report. If we were sent a report card from heaven today, I wonder what kind of report we'd have. It says, "For by it the elders obtained a good report." Now, there are some required subjects in God's school. Definitely some required subjects. You know, I guess it doesn't matter just about what you're taking unless you're taking a vocational type class. But if you go to any college or university, you take some, there's what's called the core classes, and everybody takes those, and they have, well, with God, everybody has to take a few subjects. Number one is salvation. Every last one of us, dear friend, that is required. He said, unless you're born again, you shall not see the kingdom of God. And so, the required subject number one, dear friend, is being saved by the grace of God. I wonder this afternoon if everybody here that could give a report, maybe a testify. If I was to ask, you'd stand up. You know, if you're understanding, you have age, and you have a clear conscience and clear understanding of what sin is, who God is, and what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary. He paid our sin debt. He was buried. He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. I wonder if everybody that fell in that category, if we would take time tonight, you could stand up and you say, by testimony, a personal testimony, I have been born again. If you haven't, dear friend, you need to take that course. Because the wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So if everybody could stand up here and say, yeah, I'm saved, Pastor. There was a time in my life that I realized that I had transgressed God's law, and I needed Jesus Christ, my personal Lord and Savior, and I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ during this time, or during this particular event, or at this church service, or I was at home, and I knelt myself beside the bed, and I called out to Jesus and asked Him to save my soul. If everybody could answer that question, then there's another required course that many of us, dear friend, many of us, if we're not careful, we fail this one. This would have been one of those where that if we're not careful, we would try to hide that report card. And many of us do that. Many of us come and outwardly show this, but inwardly this is not happening. Because spiritual growth is a required course. Add to your faith, the Bible says. God doesn't expect you to stay the same. He says when you're a babe in Christ, He's given you the Word of God, which is like milk, and you grow thereby. You have to add. And so I'm going to ask you again. So you could stand up on that first one and say, I've been saved, I've been born again. What if I asked all of us to do this, go around the room one by one, and we would say, I remember I was living like this, and I did this, and I was this way. But now my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ has moved from here, and He has made me to this. I wonder if we could all give a testimony tonight that we have shown, and know we have shown, spiritual growth in our life. That's a requirement of God. He says, require that in stewards that a man be found faithful. I think about Stephen. Look with me in Acts chapter 6 and verse number 8. Acts chapter 6. Listen to what the Bible says about his testimony. Acts chapter 6 and verse 8. The Bible says here about Stephen, and Stephen, full of faith and power, great wonders, did great wonders and miracles among the people. I wonder if your faith, the faith that you have, the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you put your faith and trust in Him, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. I wonder if you could say, yes, I have had some spiritual growth. And then the third thing that I'd say that would be required by God is salvation, spiritual growth, and then spiritual success. I wonder if you're a successful Christian in your walk with the Lord. If you are to the point where God, you can, people can look at you and your light and your life that shines out of your life really reflects Christ. That's true success. I'm not talking about financial success or you know, job success or you know, marital success. Praise God, all those are really good. We need to have goals in life. But the Bible says it is our predestined, the predestined will of God for us after salvation that we be change and conform to the image of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder if you're having success in your Christian walk. Well, how do you know that? Well, you're putting on the whole armor of God. Many of us want to be like the Lone Ranger, just run out there with our pistol, or may I say, the sword of the Lord. But He says, put on the whole armor of God. So we're in a spiritual warfare that many of us do not comprehend. So I wonder if you're spiritually speaking, are you having success day by day? I mean, you're growing, and what I mean is you face spiritual battles and you've allowed God to overcome you, overcome those battles in you, because we're more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Are you having spiritual success? Or are you just constantly beat down? You know, our faith is our victory. Our faith is in Stephen. Full of faith. Full of faith. I would tell you, these are required. These are required subjects with God. Salvation, grow spiritually, and have success. He says, you haven't chosen me, but I've chosen you. This is what He said. And He doesn't want us to be fruitless. He wants us to be fruitful. Are you being fruitful? That is Christian success. Fruitful. Okay? Those are required there. Now, how does this happen? How am I going to make a good grade? First, you've got to be born again. I guess that's like being registered. Can't go to the college. Can't go to the university. Can't go to the Votech school unless you're registered. Are you in the family of God? Have you trusted Christ? He's given us power. John chapter 1, verse 12. He's given us power that might become the sons of God. And then are you growing? Are you growing in your faith? Have you seen a change in life? And then that spiritual success. And this is the only way that I've seen through Scripture, biblical principles. I'm not talking about an end around. I'm not talking about some hoodwink. I'm not talking about some 12-week course or class that you take. I'm talking about biblical principles that will help you to get a good report card with God. Number one, your faith in Christ. Number two, devotion to God. Look over in Acts 22. Acts chapter 22. Verse 12 and 13. Boy, Ananias here. Acts 22, 12 and 13. And one Ananias, what does it say? A devout man according to the law. what law? God's law. Having a, what did it say? A good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. In the same hour I looked up upon him. I wonder, dear friend, how devoted you are with your service to God, your time and your duty. If you know the testimony here, this was at a time when Ananias came. It was not when Paul was on fire for God. Matter of fact, on the contrary, dear friend, he had came with a letter that he would lock up and he would put away and he would bring back under the law and put in jail and imprison those that were in the way. What way? Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. In the way of Jesus. In the way of following Christ. In the way of spiritual growth and spiritual success. I wonder how devoted you are with your service, your time, your duty, your sacrifice of yourself. He says, Romans chapter 12 says that we should be a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. How devoted are you to that? How loyal are you to the cause of Christ? You mean there's times that people would be unloyal? Oh yeah, there's times. For one reason or another, because Jesus said it like this, if you deny me, I'll deny you in front of my Father. Also, Peter was there at Antioch, and he was with Paul and spending time with him, and then some of the Jews showed up, and Peter withdrew himself. He wasn't loyal to those brothers and sisters in Christ. How loyal are you? How are you at work? Do you talk about your brother and sister in Christ? Oh, be careful of that, dear friend. Be loyal to the family. Well, they've got problems. Oh, praise God, you don't. We all have problems. We all have major problems if we owned up to it. And how devoted are you to the commitments that you've made in time past? Lord, I'm going to do this. And Lord, I'm going to do that. And Lord, I'm going to be involved in this. How devoted are you? I believe every motto of every Christian, doesn't matter if you're a preacher, doesn't matter if you're just a lay person, doesn't matter if you're a Sunday school teacher, I believe it ought to be devoted for life. Sometimes we're just in and out, however we feel. You know, I feel like today, aren't you glad that your salvation isn't dependent on how you feel today? Devoted. If you want a good grade, dear friend, you're going to have to be devoted. Ananias showed what devotion was. Saul had been wreaking havoc. And the Lord said, hey, go on over there. He's at the tanner's house and on a street called Straight. And you go over and tell him what I said to tell him. I'm telling you, Ananias wasn't all excited about that, dear friend. But his devotion to God caused him to be obedient. There's a lot of times, dear friend, that God's going to ask you to do some things that you're not going to be all excited about. Just not. I'll be honest with you, dear friend. This past 3 weeks, every Wednesday, I've been going up to these political meetings, and they've been driving me crazy. I am so thankful that next Wednesday I'm going to camp, that I don't have to go see another. I'm pretty sad, though, because this one had the two sheriffs come, and I really wanted to talk with them. But I'm telling you, I have not enjoyed it. I'm not one of the political intellect. I believe we're missing a lot of common sense in that arena. But it has been laboring on my head. But Brother Creel has put this together for years and years and years and years. And so I went to support my brother in Christ and his endeavors in this. But I'm telling you, I have not enjoyed it. I really haven't. But I believe devotion to God will help us to overcome those areas that we do not enjoy. And therefore, my devotion to God will keep my joy in check, because I'm doing it for God instead of doing it for self. Are you devoted? Third thing, Acts chapter 10. verse 22. So my faith in Christ, my devotion to God, and then, dear friend, righteousness. Righteousness. Acts chapter 10, verse 22. And this is what the Bible says. And they said, Cornelius, the centurion. This one says, a just man. A just man. And one that feareth God. And of good report among all nations of the Jews, was warned from God by a holy angel to send for thee unto his house and to hear words of thee. I wonder if that's your testimony. You know, the Bible tells us that we're to have a good testimony among the brethren and among those that's without the faith. Just man. Cornelius wasn't saved at this point, was he? No, he wasn't. So this is self-righteousness. This wasn't the righteousness of Christ. Because after Peter came, then he and his household trusted Christ, their personal Lord and Savior. So, dear friend, I'm going to tell you something. There's something about you that should speak to others. Are you a just man, a just woman? Are you living in a moral way? We got a whole bunch of immorality out there that we don't even blush at anymore. We don't even blink an eye at. God fearing, even lost people can have a godly fear. There's God up there, and I could be in big trouble with God. They might not be saved. Now, the goodness of God will always work in a way that will bring a person that is seeking and searching for repentance and faith in Christ. He will bring that message to them, and praise God, Cornelius got it. But it was his way of presenting himself a just man, one that feareth God, of good report among all the nations of the Jews. How are you standing in your righteousness now that you're saved, which should be the righteousness of Christ now? Because I'm telling you, if Christ in you, the hope of glory, is allowed to rule and to reign and have preeminence on your heart, you should be a bright and shining lighthouse. And you don't have to tell the whole world either. I saw a quote today that said about a lighthouse. How does a lighthouse warn or tell that it's a lighthouse? It doesn't shoot cannonballs. It just shines a light. Are you shining the light of Christ? The righteousness of Christ in you, the hope of glory in you, should speak volumes. But before you're saved, how was your character then? If you're lost today, of course, we've been past all that because they didn't see nobody almost move and say, Pastor, I'm not saved. I'm not saved. So we're past all that. How is the righteousness of Christ? Are you, like Romans 6 said, yielding yourself as an instrument of righteousness? So that's number 3. Number 4, a Christian's report card. And we're going to have it. You know, the Bible says that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Do you understand, dear friend, that we will stand there with a report card? We have one. It hadn't been presented to us yet, but we are looking for that final grade. What's that final grade? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well, Pastor, I don't know how I'm going to get this good report card. Well, I don't know how you're not, because Jesus said, I must go, and if I go, I'll send the Comforter, and the Comforter will be what? A teacher. He will teach you all things whatsoever I said to you. That's what the Bible says in the book of John. So you have the whole, you have Jesus Christ. You have Him, the one that's going to grade you. And aren't you thankful that when you get graded by Christ, you're graded on a huge curve? You're graded on Christ's righteousness? taught by the Holy Spirit of God, and you have the report card accepted by the Father, because Jesus says, that is mine. She is mine. He is mine. And you're accepted because of the beloved. How else can you not get a good report card with the Lord Jesus Christ? How can we not, as Christians, have a good report card? I'll tell you why. We're not doing what we can in this present world. Too many of us are waiting to eternity. But He's saved us so that we can live here. Well, how do you know that? Because every one of you are here. If I ask you, Brother Ray, how long have you been saved? Brother Sykes, how long have you been saved? Sister Maria, how long have you been saved? It's been some time. If you were not meant to live here saved in the righteousness of Christ, making a difference in the world, He would have took you home as soon as you called Him out, called on Him to salvation. Amen. He left you here for a purpose. Amen. So you have a job to do. And don't do like one. I remember my pastor, this one young lady came and asked pastor to pray for her. She had a big, big test the next day. And pastor began to pray. And he said, Lord, I ask you to bless this young lady on this test with the accordance of the way she has studied. Pastor, we don't have to study. Wait a minute. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 says what? Study. Study. If you want a good report card with God, you need to study. You need to, no need to be ashamed. You need to study. Secondly, you need to be where God wants you to be. Where does He want you to be? Well, according to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, it says, forsake not the what? Assembly of yourselves together. You need to be in the house of God. Why do you need to be in the house of God? Pastor, I'm getting tired of hearing people say the church is important. Well, I don't know. Jesus Christ died and gave Himself for the church. Whew. I think that's a little bit pretty important there, huh? Wonder why we don't have any spiritual growth? Because church is secondary. It's convenient to when we can get there. You want a good report? Study the Word of God. Be in the house of God. Fellowship with God's people. Coming together to be perfected for the work of the ministry according to Ephesians. Third thing we need to do to get a good report there, final thing is to improve our grade, is we need to spend time in prayer. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 that we should pray without ceasing. Prayer is something that I don't know if we just... the devil has tricked us into to overlooking it or something. Prayer is so important. We need to spend time in prayer. Spend time seeking the face of God. Well, why do we need to study? Why do we need to be in the house of God? Why do we need to pray? Because the Bible says in James 1:22, be not hearers of the word of God, but be doers. You're not going to do the things of the word of God unless you're studying to see what there is in there for us to be doing, and then to have a cheerleading squad. You know that's what we are for each other. We're to cheer each other on. Hey, you can do this. Hey, keep going. Hey, you may have failed today, but God loves you. And we cheer each other on, and we pray for each other, and we put each other before the throne in intercessory prayer, and we pray and seeking God's face, and then we practice exactly what we have learned in the Word of God. In other words, we live it out. That's what being doers of the Word of God is. Not just hearers only. What does your spiritual report card look like this evening after looking at those verses and thinking about this thought and look at... I would have to say, dear friend, to be honest with you, mine would need some improving. I'd have to be honest with you. I couldn't stand up here as your pastor and say, I have arrived. I've apprehended. No. I think we can all improve Why? Because our measuring stick is Jesus, not one another. And that's where we mess up too much. Well, I'm doing just as good as Brother Bill. Well, praise God. You know what the Bible says about us all? We're all unworthy. We're not to be doing just as good as Brother Bill. We are to be provoking one another to love and to service and to Christ-likeness. Not comparing ourselves one with another, because the Bible says very plainly, this is not wise. It's not. So I'd have to tell you, dear friend, that Pastor, he would have to have, I'd have some remedial courses. Well, how do you do that? I rise up every day. The next day, the righteous man falls 7 times, yet rise up again. I stand, Lord, failed you again. Lord, that was a miserable day yesterday outside of you. So, Lord, tomorrow will you help me not to be so carnal? There's a good thing about it, though, Sister Kayla, is that the Lord never leaves me alone. He never forsakes me, never disowns me, never takes a pencil and erases my name out of the Lamb's Book of Life. He says, son, you can do it. Stay faithful. Keep your eyes on me. Do what you learn. Follow what's there. And love others.